Yeah, extra, extra. Hear all about it on Strikeout Bros. What's going on, Lash?
What's up, man? Another episode. We got a lot to
Though, man, this is where, you know, things change. You know, because, you know, we do every episode and every two series, right? So a lot happens, you know. You go from being a superstar, you know, team to being trash in a matter of two series, you know, depending on who you play too, you know, it all matters. It shows who you are throughout the season. It develops drama and it's all part of the soap opera, I guess. You know, it makes it interesting that way. And that's why it's such a long season, you know, the ebbs and flows, right? That's what they say. Look at you. I know. I have a lot to say about your team too, you know.
I was looking at the Mets game.
Oh yeah, you know, we're watching the Mets game and it's not looking so good. You know, it's funny how McGill comes out of the gates, you know, and he's like, 9 Ks, first 14 batters, strikes out the side in the fourth. In the fifth, he gets into trouble and they end up tying the game. Yeah, men are first and second with one out and he hits the batter, loads up the bases, and then Durant comes up the bat. He almost knocks it out the park on the right side. Soto scrambling back there, catches the ball, throws it in. They tied the game. And then on top of that, Devers is up to bat now with men on second and third. And it's a 3-1 count.
No,
he walks on bases loaded now. Holy cow.
Oh, no. Bases are loaded now. Is Mendoza going to change him?
He's 85 in. Yeah.
Oh, get him out of there.
Yeah, he's going to have to. Bases loaded.
You start messing with your bullpen too much, you're going to wear him out. But
but it's not even about that. What are you supposed to do at this situation? You have to. You have no choice. He imploded.
You have to get one out.
Yeah, he imploded. He couldn't get the one out. You know, so somebody fresh is going to have to come in and throw fire and try to get him out of there. But listen, the game is tied right now. So if we get out of this inning like this, we still have a shot. Even though we lost the series, that's the problem right now. You know, we're not hitting the ball. So you have to understand that we lost the series to the Yankees, you know, and that was pivotal. We lost the series to the Red Sox yesterday, and now we're about to get swept by them. You know, it's kind of crazy.
Not yet. Can't say yet.
You know, and you know what? It's happening all over the league. Things are changing. You know, the Dodgers have been having problems too. You know, we haven't even spoken about. We just started talking.
Angels have gotten hot.
The Angels were able to sweep the Dodgers, right? And then Arizona was able to, you know, fight. And yesterday the Dodgers won. They had lost four in a row. The Dodgers had lost four in a row. And that's why they have a similar record to the Mets. And they're both, you know, they're both struggling right now at the moment, you know. And if tonight at 10:10 on the East Coast when they play the Dodgers, if they lose, well, they'll be, you know, two out as well.
They won yesterday.
This is a rubber match tonight.
In Arizona.
So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. After this, I'm going to definitely sit down and watch that one.
Texas just tied the game with the Yankees 1-1.
The Yankees, wow. They that was a story to tell. We'll talk about that later too. But you know, today's episode, right?
Twin Cities.
It's welcome to the Twin Cities. And you know, if you're wondering, the Minnesota Twins, for those of you that don't know, it's a baseball team in the Central in the American League, you know. So apparently they won 13 games in a row. Insane. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even keeping tabs on that, you know. And that's a lot of work. You know, they put in some good work. But the funny thing about that work that they put in, it's funny how, you know, this is how you know if your team is trash, right? Because during that streak, the Baltimore Orioles lost seven times and lost all seven games to the Twins, which is incredible, right? The Twins gained only three games on the division-leading Detroit Tigers. The Tigers have been on fire. I know, that's crazy, right? Out of all those wins, the Tigers, they were winning at the same time. They wouldn't stop winning. And they only, you know, the winning streak, it came to an end, you know. And this past Saturday, it came to an end, you know. And it's funny because what I don't understand is how could you win so many games and still not be able to, not get ground, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
But they have some serious pitching going on Detroit's over there. Good. Yeah, Detroit's good, but now the division got a little interesting, you know? Because now they have competition. That's how I see it, you know? Yo, their pitching staff is so crazy. They were able to, like, go through a stretch.
The bullpen has been really good.
Yeah, 33 straight shutout innings, bro. Twins. 33. You know what I'm saying? That's how crazy that is. 33 straight shutout innings. Longest streak in history, right? Since 1961, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, all right?
That's a really good pitching staff. And, you know, like I said, the Orioles lost 7 of those games because they played them twice. It was a 4-game series and a 3-game series. You would know more about that. The 4-game series?
3 in New York or Baltimore.
Oh, 3 in Baltimore or 4 in Minnesota. Yeah. Wow. So they just...
Or it might have been 4. In Baltimore, I think it was 4 in Baltimore and 3 in Minnesota.
Got you. But either way, they just mowed you down.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah. So they, you know. And then you guys lost 8 in a row, right? You were just, you know. Yeah. And the prediction is that you're going to lose 117 games this season.
Yeah.
All right. And this is the longest streak that you losing streak since the 19 in a row in August of 2019. So this is, but you know,
I remember that. Oh my God, that was when they had nobody.
Yeah, but that streak is over because you guys just won. No, you guys won today. You guys won today.
Yeah, they won. So start now. They can start a new winning streak. Hopefully, we'll see.
Exactly. Hopefully, you never know. Listen, I saw a press conference with your GM, and it was pretty horrific. You could tell. His body language, the way he was talking, you know, the look on his face, he looks stressed, okay? And, you know, well, he said that he's trying to fix the problem as soon as possible. He says that he's working on the problem. He says that they know they have a problem, and it's not like they're just sitting in the dark, you know. They're trying to figure it out. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do with the pitching staff, and then the injuries didn't help, and hopefully, you know, they can figure that out.
Pitching. The injuries are not on offense.
I know. Pitching. I know, but that's the problem too. You have to understand. I don't know. The same thing's happening with the Mets. We're not hitting the ball. We're not hitting the ball at all. We're gonna talk about that in a few as well. We're gonna, you know, have numbers for you guys. It's pretty crazy how we went from, you know, a pretty good looking team to, like, you know, struggling against great teams.
Razabon just struck out the guy with bases loaded.
That's what I'm talking about. You see, we're still in it, folks. You know, we don't want to lose this game because we don't want to go into the Dodgers series. You know, losing two series and getting swept by the Boston Red Sox. That's not a good look for a team like this. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there was the owner already reached out to the fans and was like, you know, don't worry about it. This is what happens. You know, it's a long season. You know, you're gonna have streaks where, you know, we don't look so good. Ups and downs of the season. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I see, you know, as an analyst, I guess, you know, if you want to call me that, call yourself that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what we're doing, right? We're analyzing this shit. We're breaking shit down. And we're giving you our opinions on this shit, right? And I feel like, you know, you pay for this team. You put the team together. You have people that are great at doing things like this. And this is what they get paid to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, when they go home and they, you know, take a nap and they wake up and they're like, wow. I think I put together something real special. And I think this is going to work out, right? And then you hit a wall or you play a team that's doing just as well as you are, but for some reason you can't beat them, you know? So it makes you wonder, are we ready to compete in a situation where we can win a championship, or are we still lacking in some departments, you know? And that's how you have to look at some things. You know, me and my dad talk about this shit all the time, right? And my dad's like, yeah, you see the lineup tonight, right? We got Torrens, you know, playing tonight. That's who has to play tonight because he's the one with the hot hand. He's the one that's hitting the ball. And I'm like, yeah, I understand that. But you know what? Alvarez is a better defensive catcher when it comes to catching the rotation, not necessarily pegging motherfuckers out when they're, you know, running and trying to steal. You know, Torrens is a little better at that. But defensively, as, you know, catching the rotation, I think Alvarez is the answer, you know. So we have a difference of opinion when it comes to that, and we talk about our team, you know, the Mets. But I don't know. I don't know. I feel like maybe we have to juggle up the lineup. You know what I'm saying? Look, today's the first day, right, in the season since Soto's been with us that he's juggled Soto around in the lineup. Soto's batting third today versus his usual second, you know, where he produces multiple walks but doesn't really hit the ball. So let's see what happens. You know, I mean, listen, you have to try a little bit of everything. You know, I know I'm ranting here right now, you know, because this is the first time in the season where the Mets look kind of suspect, you know what I'm saying? But,
oh, wow.
What's going on over there?
In New York, 1-1 New York Yankees in Texas.
Oh, I love that. I love that. See, he's doing okay. He's doing okay.
He's doing
all right. He's doing okay. See, speaking of the devil, he's batting now in the top of the sixth. He's 0 for 2 with 2 strikeouts. You know, he's batting .244, 8 home runs, 20 RBIs. And he struck out looking twice, okay? Just to, you know, put it out there. He's having a real hard time with Crochet. Crochet's, you know, an amazing catch, you know, for the Red Sox.
He's a great pitcher. That's of course he is. Oro should have traded for. But it's what it is. But yeah, going back to the Twins, man, their biggest strength for the Twins has been their bullpen, man. If you can't get to the starter, you're going to lose the game because there's no chance you're going to get past. You're not going to get past their bullpen. Their bullpen is really good, man, especially the back half.
Yeah.
And they don't give up a lot of runs. You know, they don't score a lot of runs either, but scored a lot against Baltimore. But Baltimore's bullpen is trash.
So.
But either way, even when they're not playing Baltimore, they you know, their pitching is the reason why they are. Why they are where they are. So hats off to them. But it must be frustrating if you're a Twins fan because you're like, man, 13 in a row, you think you're at least going to gain at least.
Yeah, at least. Or jump over Detroit. Somebody. You should also jump over somebody at that point.
Or leap over. Yeah. And no, we got nothing.
Yeah. Speaking of leap overs, you know, the Phillies took over the division. And
I know.
And no, it's a good thing. You know, it's gonna showing that, you know, the Phillies can be, you know, dangerous. I know that. You know, listen to me. Kyle Schwarber, all right? This is funny because I feel like we have a seriously deep team when it comes to hitting home runs. And I think that we have a really good team for that. You know, I think we have a lot of good hitters in our lineup. But apparently we don't have a hitter like Kyle Schwarber, you know what I'm saying? Because Kyle Schwarber and Ohtani, they both have 17 home runs this year. I believe Judge has 16. You know, so those three guys, wow, that's amazing, right? It's crazy. I think, you know, like, listen. Now, a guy like Schwarber, you know, he just hit his 300th home run, okay? This Monday night and shit. And he hit a 466-foot shot, right, in Coors Field. All right, it's Coors Field, but granted, you know, but whatever. That doesn't mean anything. Exactly. They suck, you know what I'm saying? But that's not the point. The point is that he has 17 home runs, right? And he's a free agent this year. So do the Phillies go aggressive on him and try to just, you know, knock it down? I mean, he's getting a little older now. Resign him because look at what he's producing. You know what I'm saying? This guy, he's not producing like Ohtani.
He was in Chicago.
You know? But he's hitting home runs and he's producing runs. All right, he has 37 RBIs this year. He's batting .257. 17 home runs, all right? It's pretty amazing. 4 doubles, right? 1 triple. And 34 walks, so he has a good eye. You know, 45 strikeouts. I mean, but, you know, a guy like this, you would expect that to happen, you know, because this guy, you know, he's swinging for the fences most of the time. But this is a guy that, you know, is going to produce for your ball club. He's going to come in. He's a serious player. I love his energy. He's a Mets killer. So, listen, free agency-wise, if he ends up on the market, we don't have a DH, right? So why not? Why not go for it? But, you know, the funny thing is that Pete Alonso might just opt out of his contract depending on how his season. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So if we end up swapping, I think that would be depending on how Alonso does this year. Or we can have both. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, we don't have a DH. Imagine Alonso, DH. Schwarber, Soto, Lindor. Oh, come on, man. It's Nemo. Alvarez, I mean, come on now. You know what I'm saying? That's a very, very dangerous lineup. So we have something to look forward to. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what kind of season Schwarber has, what kind of season Alonso has, and let's see if we can end up seeing both of them on the same lineup in Queens. You know what I'm saying? That'll be amazing to me. I'm just saying. And imagine if that Cedric Mullins, you know what I'm saying, and Tyler McGill trade ever goes down, you know, that would be really crazy. That would make us even more dangerous, all right? And this is the type of team that you have to put together to try to get over the top, you know what I'm saying? Because now we're seeing that we're having trouble. I think that when we played the Yankees in this past series, we were nervous for some odd reason. We didn't play to the best of our ability, and they just broke us down, you know what I'm saying? The Peter Alonso implosion, for some reason, he has the yips now. He's having trouble throwing.
Fielding, I know.
Yeah, fielding. You know, I don't know what's going on. It's mind-blowing
Soto
to me.
Soto with the bounce pass.
Yeah, a lot of things. A lot of things.
That's expected with Soto.
Alonso. Defensively, yeah, not with Alonso. You know what I'm saying?
Alonso was a But it's crazy because I saw that play. I was like, is this one of those things where, like, he rushed a throw? He felt like he probably didn't have enough time, and he really did have enough time. If he just planted, took his time, he would have got the guy, but he rushed it. It's the pressure in the moment. His base is loaded, so he's trying his best. So it's not like he's just, you know, just throwing in it out of nowhere. So, but it just, it looked bad because it's against the Yankees. It's your crosstown rival.
Yeah.
The Mets are doing well, and the Yankees are okay. And so you got to, you know, you want to beat them. You know, it's for, if you live in New York, you know, Mets and Yankees series is always big. Whoever wins, it's, you literally have like, you have like a whole year to talk shit to the other person, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little, you know, series within the series.
Street credit, I guess.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, yeah.
Like, my team's better than yours. We beat the Mets or blah, blah,
exactly.
Blah.
Yeah, last year the Yankees couldn't talk, but they ended up going to the World Series.
Yeah, 4-0.
Yeah, but we still ended up, you know, losing in the NLCS, and they went to the World Series. You know what I'm saying? We played that team better than they did. We played the Dodgers better than they did last year, but that doesn't matter.
In the playoffs? Yeah.
Yeah, of course we did. Of course we did. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. But yeah, the you know, going back to the Twins game, one of the games I watched, it was a little scary. It was against the Orioles. It was a doubleheader. The Byron Buxton and Harrison Bader, I think it was. Or no, it was Carlos Correa. They were both grabbing a foul ball or a pop-up, and they both collided with each other. And thank God no one got hurt. But it was scary because they could have potentially lost two of their best players. But and they were coming in hard, you know. It just, one, it was really bright outside. They couldn't see each other very well. They probably, I don't know, maybe they didn't hear each other. But they're both trying to make the play. They didn't make the play. And it didn't really do much for Baltimore because they couldn't score. But anyway, for the Twins, it would hurt them because offensively you need those two guys. You know, they produce for them, but they didn't miss a beat and they keep winning. And it's just hard, you know. You could win all you want, but if the teams ahead of you keep winning, there's nothing you could do about it. You need Detroit to lose, and Detroit is really good. They just took two healthy from St. Louis.
Well, they're the best in the MLB team. Yeah, they're the best in the MLB.
30-13, something like that.
Yeah, nah, it's way better than that, bro. It's way better than that. Something crazy. I'll tell you now. It's something crazy. It's like, what are they doing over there? And it's funny because, you know, this whole shit, it all comes down back to the Mets in the funniest way, right? So Detroit, my friend, is 33-17. Okay. They have in the last 10, 7 out of the last 7 and 3 in the last 10, which is crazy. All right. And they're 4 above .500 away. And at home, they've only lost 5 games at home, okay? They're 12 games above .500 at home, which is crazy to me, all right? Like,
yeah,
they're playing really good baseball. And the funny shit about it is that we had that asshole, Javi Baez, on our team, right? We gave away P. Crow Armstrong, you know, superhero P. Crow Armstrong. His name is PCA now. If you're a baseball fan and you don't know who PCA is, then you're not a baseball fan. Because this kid is doing amazing things. Yes, he is. He's really good. And Chicago's been playing really, really well right now, too. And they look like they're going places now, you know? They're 30-20, okay? Which is crazy, too. They're 5 games above .500 at home, 15-10. And same record away, 15-10. All right? They're in first place. St. Louis, who, for some reason, after playing the Mets, they have become a force. And now they're 3 games behind them. And, you know, like I said, the sad thing is now that the Mets are now in second place at 1.5 because we've been playing atrocious baseball. It's been really bad. I believe it's been 8 out of the last 8 and 11 since like April 26 or something crazy like that. Something really bad, right? And yeah, we can't figure it out. We haven't been hitting the ball at all. I have those numbers. I'm going to get to them in a second. The Phillies have been consistent. You know, they won 5 in a row and they won 8. They're 8-2 out of their last 10, which is pretty crazy. They have amazing pitching. You know, they've gone through their struggles too. You know, they just went through, they just lost their closer because their closer was doing, you know, PED.
Alvarado.
Yeah, Alvarado.
80 games. And 80 games. For the postseason.
For the postseason either. Exactly. So they didn't really know how to put it, you know, put it in there, which is good. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to set an example, right? This is not acceptable. Not at all. You know what I'm saying? So now.
And also, reason why it hurts them is because their bullpen has always been their weakness. It's just they have a good offense that can carry their weak. You know, their offense hides their weakness, and so it hasn't hurt them drastically, but it's gonna hurt them if you don't have a closer. Now you gotta find a new closer, which means by that suspension, they're gonna have to trade for a closer.
Yes.
And you know who I think they would trade for or maybe
Who's
go
that?
After?
Who's that?
The guy on the Athletics, their closer.
What's his
Mason
name?
Mason or something. I forgot his name.
I think it's I think it is Mason. I think that's
their
his name. Remember that.
Something Mason. But no, he's their closer for that.
Nah, so I don't think that's really going to happen, good. Though. I think the rumor is that Robertson, the guy that played for the Phillies in 19 and 22. And
he played on the Yankees too.
Yankees and the Mets. Yeah, yeah. And he played for the Mets too.
I forgot about the Mets, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the guy, you know, I think that they're looking at, you know what I'm saying? They're talking, but nothing, you know, nothing serious yet. But yeah, so.
Nothing in the works.
Yeah, nothing in the works. So now we're talking about Ohtani now, right? Because we have to compare. We just said that we were comparing Schwarber's home runs to Ohtani's home runs, but we weren't really comparing them. We're just saying that the pace that they're going at is pretty impressive, you know what I'm saying? And how they're able to help their teams, you know? Because this is how you win games. You know, if you have any men on base and you're cracking home runs like that, you're definitely helping your team out, you know? And Ohtani's crazy because right now he has 17 home runs. He already has 11 stolen bases. He's on, you know, 31 RBIs. He's batting .311. So he's definitely hitting a little better than Schwarber, but Schwarber can hit the home run. He has pop in his bat, you know. But yeah. Ohtani is a monster. You know, he struck out 51 times, but you expect that with a player like that, you know. And, you know, that moving forward, he's, you know, I think they're, you know, helping him develop to get back to pitching as well. You know, he's moving along in that situation. And, you know, I just got a report today that I read earlier this afternoon while I was sitting there collecting information for this podcast today, right? And apparently, there's another two-way player, right? And this guy's a what? This guy's a, he's Korean, right? So Ohtani's Japanese, this guy's Korean. So, but this guy's, the Rangers picked him up, you know? He's a two-way. He's only 18 years old. But, apparently he's really good, and the funny thing about this guy is that he's a shortstop, so I don't know how they would figure that one out. See, because Ohtani is easy because it's an automatic DH. He works the DH slot every day and he pitches once a week. But with this guy, I guess he would play shortstop every day, all right, and then pitch on the days where he has to. So I think that's a little bit more of a toll on the body and the, right? What do you think about that? It's kind of crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, when you do it that way, you're risking more injury. You're risking that player getting hurt. And then also, just look at Ohtani. He hasn't pitched since he got hurt, you know, and since he had that surgery. So he's just been a hitter. So I guess that's a plus. But, I don't know if this guy is going to be the next Ohtani, where every time he comes out of bat, he can put pressure, score
no.
runs and steal. You know,
I mean, he's an average player. You know, he's an average shortstop. But even still, though, think about it, right? So you're playing every day, right? So you're at shortstop every day. You have to bat, you know, and then on the days that you're pitching, what, you become the DH and bat as well? Nah, that's a little bit too much. You wouldn't do that because you would have a DH already for that situation. But
no,
even still, though, it's too much of a workload, I think. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, we all know that Ohtani became a better hitter and was able to break all types of records when he left the pitching on the side. Because not because he wanted to, because he couldn't, right? So
yeah,
he became, you know, he broke all these records. Look, he's the sole, you know, guy on the 50-50 club, right or wrong. So like, all right. So he did his thing. So I don't know. Let's see what happens with this guy. It's gonna be a while before we see him anyway. He's young, you know, they're gonna develop him. But the Texas Rangers have something for the future. They're working on their future, that's for sure. You know? So I don't know. That it's pretty crazy. So you remember we spoke about how that guy fell over at PNC Park, right? Remember
Oh, the fan.
the he had a fan that fell over the railing, right? So apparently they caught the guy. This guy was underage, right? The guy that fell and hurt himself. Apparently he was
He
walking
was
now.
like
He
a
hurt,
19-year-old or something.
yeah, like 20 or something like that. So anyway, somebody bought him some beer at the game. So this person
Oh,
got
underage.
arrested. Yep. And they got arrested. You know,
He got
you can
arrested,
look
or
it
the guy
up.
that bought him the
The
beer?
guy that bought him the beer got arrested.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy that bought him the beer got arrested. His name is Ethan Kirkwood, 21 years old, man, from Pennsylvania, was arrested. Yeah,
Good.
on the 23rd. The hearing is going to be on the 23rd of June.
So, what happens if that guy had died? God forbid he had died. Would he get charged with
Oh,
a second degree murder
I don't know. I don't know. I
or
don't know
third
how they
degree? I
would have
guess
looked
third
at that.
degree.
I'm not
But he's
sure.
very lucky. But
Yeah.
you could tell he was either drunk, because you could tell as soon as you saw a play, you were like, this guy has to be a drunk. No normal person would just fall out getting that excited. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pretty
He
crazy.
looked
There
like
was
he just got
surveillance.
excited. It's like, oh, he thought, I don't know what happened, but when I first saw it, I was like, man, look at this drunk fan. That's the first thing that came to mind. And I guess
Yeah.
I was right. But either way, that's very scary because, the people that work the stands, the concessions, they don't, they only check the person, the person that had is the old enough to buy the beer. They don't know what, if I buy a beer, they don't know if I'm gonna give it to a five, a 10-year-old
No, it's true because they allow
underage.
you for sure. I know for a fact that when you buy a beer at the stadium, if you want to buy two, you know, you can buy two with one ID. So they don't know who the other beer is going to. So there was
Yeah, it
surveillance
could just,
camera.
yeah. You'd be like, yeah, I'm
Yeah.
bringing it for my friend, It's like,
It's pretty
okay,
crazy, yeah.
well, but you know what? It's not the first time it's happened. It's probably happened plenty of times. It just, no one fell over the stands and fell onto the ground. That's why it's a big deal now.
Exactly. But the thing was that, you know, there were surveillance cameras and they saw the Kirkwood buy two tall boys, and next thing you know, there was video later showing Kirkwood and the guy that fell, Markwood,
Of buying him and
together.
giving him the
No,
beer.
sipping the beer together. They both had a beer in their hands. So, you know, it's
I don't
crazy.
know, man. There's no way one beer would make it. He has to have more than one beer because there's no way one beer you're. I don't know. I've had one beer and not fall all over the place.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
No,
It
I
depends
don't
on the
know.
person. It depends on the person. But you know, that's not the point. The
He's a
point is that,
lightweight.
you know, now
Point
this
is,
is
you
pretty
gave him a
crazy.
beer.
Exactly. He wasn't supposed to do that, you know.
A
Now he's
minor.
responsible for that. Exactly. You know, this what it's the law, man. Listen. You know,
Yeah,
so
and
watch
now
out.
what, he's gonna go to jail
Who
essentially for this
knows? Let's
guy.
see. We'll see what
You
happens.
know what also could happen? That guy could sue him. He could have to pay his medical expenses.
Oh man, that could get
His
the parents
beer
might do that. The
hurt.
parents might do that. Nah, you know, who knows? Yeah, it's
Well,
pretty
he's an adult. He
crazy.
can make his own. He can sue after somebody.
Yeah,
You're not old enough to drink, but you're an
drink.
adult.
It's true. You're right. You're right.
You're probably 18, 19 years old. You can say no to things. That's what,
Yeah.
that'd be my argument, But who knows? Maybe it was just a friend, and that guy probably didn't think my friend's gonna jump over the freaking wall and fall on the ground.
No, that's not that wasn't the plan, man.
So
That
I think
wasn't
it
the
was
plan, man.
their plan was to have fun, drink, have a good time, and go home. But
Yeah.
the, you know.
So now let's talk about this crazy shit now, because this is how crazy this is now. So like, the Dodgers are coming into town, right? The Mets might just get
Yes.
swept by the, you know, by the Red Sox.
Red Sox.
Arizona might win
They might
tonight
get two out
and
of three from
take two,
Arizona
exactly, and that'll be two
or
series for
LA.
each team hobbling into Citi Field, right? And the crazy thing is that the Angels just finished sweeping the Dodgers, which is pretty crazy to me. You know, Angels aren't going anywhere, but that shows you that the Dodger team as a whole is struggling. You know, they have
Yeah.
little injuries here and there, and they're not having a. And it's funny because I always say this for some reason, I don't know why this happens, but every time a good team goes into a town with a player, like a team that sucks and isn't any good, the good team always like plays down to the worst team. And then the game ends up being, it's never really lopsided, you know? And I'll give you a perfect example, right? So the Angels won the first game 6-2. Okay, that's surprising. You would never think that, right? So if you were on FanDuel and you were like, oh, tonight I'm going to bet on the Dodgers because they're playing the Angels, I don't give a fuck, right? And then you lose that, you're like, wow, that was, you know.
I was shocked
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? But then the next day, right, the Angels win 11-9, all right? So we're talking about 20 runs. 20 runs in a game, right? And you don't expect that shit to happen. So you're like, what's going on here, right? So not only did the Angels win the series after game two, they win the next game 6-4, all right? So now you're like, wait a minute. What's going on with the Dodgers, right? That's the first thing that's going to pop into your mind, right? It's like there's something wrong there. And then, all right, Arizona's been playing well. That's a division. That's the best division in the whole league. So you got, you know, you got the Dodgers, you got the Padres, you got San Francisco, and yes, you have the Arizona Diamondbacks as well. And you know what? Maybe that'll be the wild cards right there. And San Diego can maybe even take the Dodgers out of the division lead with having problems like this. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't know what's going on now. We'll see what happens tonight. Like I said, tonight, after this is over, I'm definitely going to tune in and I'm going to watch that. But we're going to see what happens. The Dodgers are not looking too good either. You know, we all go through the flows, right? We all go through the flows. All right, now it's looking like the Mets want to win this game. We got men on second and third with one out.
I think Acuna was safe. They're challenging
and Acuna, yeah, they're challenging the play at first, right? So it could be a bases loaded situation. That's what you're telling me right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Yeah, let's see what happens. We're going to check that. I haven't seen the replay yet. I think you're a little ahead of me. Let's check this out. I'm looking at it now. He's safe. I'm out. He's safe.
Yeah, he's safe.
So bases loaded, no outs. This is when we win the game. Loaded. We have to.
Who's that bad, Lindor?
I'm not sure because they juggled up the lineup today. The lineup is a little different today. I can tell you right now, the lineup was Beatty's up to bat now.
Oh, Jesus. He sucks ass.
No. He's, you know what, man? I don't know what to do with this team anymore. But this is the funny thing about this team, right? All right, so now.
Maybe he'll come up big, safe. Yep, bases loaded. No
outs. Bases loaded. One out, perfect. All right, so this is the thing about the Mets, all right? So now, we're not hitting, all right? So apparently today we had to juggle up the lineup and make it a little different so this way we can try to figure out what's wrong with our team. Now, you have to understand that we lost 3 straight and 5 out of the last 6, all right? That was the first time this season we were the last team to lose 3 in a row, okay? Yeah. So we were holding something down. A little streak, but we couldn't do it, right?
Yeah.
In the last 6 games, we were batting 180, just scoring 8 runs. In the last 7 games, .154. In the last 15 games, .186. In the last 30 games, .265. Not this team. This team is not. Nah, this is what has the same thing that happened to your team is happening to mine. If it wasn't for the pitching, you know what I'm saying? The pitching keeps us in these games. They keep us in the games. And I can prove that to you. I can prove that the pitching is keeping us in the games. Because in the series with the Red Sox, bro, Senga and Holmes, they only gave up 5 runs combined, bro. All right? Yeah, they both went 6 innings. Okay? So that's crazy. All right?
They couldn't score runs.
They just couldn't score runs, bro. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, with the Yankees, right, they outscored us 16-7, bro. That's not acceptable with the roster we have, you know. We played super nervous. We didn't play well, you know. And Alonso, you know, he definitely threw that game away, you know, because we could have won that in the rubber match. We could have won that. It was a tie game in the late innings. We had a chance. Yeah. You know, we needed that series. It's crazy. But look what happens. You know, and then I'm looking at, you know, everybody's talking about Soto, and this is what we have to talk about now, you know, because I know you want to talk about this too, because I know you see things a certain way, and I want to know what you think, because you're, you know, I like classy players, bro.
You go first because it's your team, so you.
Yeah, but
I think we think along the same line, similarly.
Yeah. We know I don't like a flashy player, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I noticed about Soto? Okay, you know how on previous clubs before getting this big ass contract, he was a really flashy player, right? And he played villain, right? And last year, right? This is just me talking out loud, right? This is serious. Like, you know, we all play roles on our team, right? And when you look at the Phillies, a team like the Phillies, right? And you look at a team like the Red Sox, right? Back in the day, especially when they had David Ortiz and they had Manny Ramirez, right? They were a real scrappy, like dirty team. You know, the Phillies were always a dirty team. You know, like, oh, here come the Phillies. Oh, here comes the, you know, like the Detroit Pistons of back in the day, you know, like when they used to play the Bulls and they were like the dirtiest team, you know. But that's the type of team that you would look at. You know, you would see that, right? So like Soto has played for teams like that. The Yankees are a villain in baseball. You know what I'm saying? They're the villains in baseball, bro. They come into your town, they like the villains. And he played a very good villain playing for the Yankees. All right. And then he went to like family friendly Mets, you know, because we're a working class team. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And we're like a family friendly ball club and everybody's smiling, having a good time. And it's hard for him to transition into that role, you know what I'm saying? But he can still be his villain. You know that little move that he does every time they
The
miss with
shimmy, the
balls? The
shoulder
shimmy,
shuffle.
exactly. The shuffle,
Slide his
thank
foot
you.
to right, stairs and pitch it
Exactly.
down.
Yeah, he doesn't do that anymore with
Wiggles
the
his
Mets.
bat.
He doesn't do that for the Mets anymore, bro.
I think it's just because he's not performing. If he was,
You think so?
he does that
Nah.
when he, yes, because when he's breaking, he does that. I'm telling you, he'll be back. Don't worry. If he goes on like 18 game hitting streak, he'll be doing the shuffle and all that.
Oh,
It's all
maybe. I
about
hope
just
so.
not, I think it's
All right.
offensively.
All right, so let's talk
No,
about his
offensive
numbers,
issue.
right? This bum right now, because I don't want to call him a bum, all right? But I don't like his. He's a little arrogant right now. He's a little
Bum is a
shaky.
strong word for
Yeah.
750 million.
So, yeah, but this is what happens. People get paid, and then what they do, they walk right out the door.
They're like, we
They
got
show
our
up to
money.
work.
Goodbye.
Exactly. This is what happens, man. We've seen it happen so many
It's like
times.
armed robbery. Yes.
All right. So until he can prove this to us, I don't want to call him a bum. I'm gonna take that back. I'm gonna take that back. All right. Because you know, I have to take that back, but you're right. Because you know, I have to think about a lot of things. All right, I have to think about the fact that this guy, you know, he's young. He's 26 years old. He's going through a lot. He's thinking about too much. He's not thinking about the simple things. You know, simple baseball mechanics and just hitting the ball. That's what he needs to focus on. He needs to go into a bubble and just do his thing and relax because he's thinking about too much. He doesn't have to carry this team. You know what I'm saying? Right now, nobody's carrying this team. Nobody's hitting, so nobody's earning their money. But all right, when they say I've been watching this series with the Boston Red Sox, right? And I've been watching the dynamics of the field, right? The dynamics of the field are so horrible, right? So this left fucking field wall, the Green Monster, it's so hard because if you hit it really hard, it'll be a home run in any other ballpark. But in this ballpark, it hits the wall, it drops, and it's almost impossible to get a double. All right, so people were talking shit about Soto, and they were saying, oh, you know, he was standing there, he looked at the ball, hit the wall, and he didn't run, you know? He didn't
He
get
didn't
that
hustle out
double.
the
He didn't
box.
hustle out the box, right? And everybody's like, oh, Mendoza has to talk to him. What the hell? Now, okay, listen, understand that. Even if he would have ran out the gates, he would have never gotten that double. All right,
No,
it's
he's
very,
slow.
very
He's not.
hard. He's very big. He's a big guy, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't gonna get that double. It's very, very hard to get a double off the wall on the left side. That monster is a fucking crazy animal. Alonso in the first game hit a shot, man. He missed it by a couple of inches. A lot of guys hit nice shots off that wall. Torrens hit a shot off that wall today. That would have been a home run in any other ballpark. You know what I'm
In
saying?
field.
Anywhere, bro. Anywhere.
Yeah.
So like this series has been interesting. Yo, listen, imagine having to play a World Series in this ballpark. It's a definite home field advantage, bro. It's a definite home field advantage. It's crazy. So I don't blame him for that, you know, but he definitely needs to hustle. He needs to humble himself a little. He needs to relax and chill, right? And you know, everybody says the same thing. You know, people are saying, oh, I read some shit where Piazza was like, yeah, don't worry about the same thing happened to me. Lindor, it took Lindor a while too. You know, he has
Warm
to
up.
act, you know, to warm up and get acclimated with the team. And he doesn't have to carry the team. He just has to play his position, you know, do his thing. You know, he's a
Be
plus for
productive.
us. Be productive. That's it. You know, hit the ball hard, you know, concentrate, relax. You know, but He's definitely not doing that. He's not doing that. You know, we struggle, you know. The team went 0-for-7 and with runners in scoring position. You know, this is crazy. Yesterday was crazy too, because you have to understand that when Walker Buehler got kicked out of the game in the third inning, I said to myself, Jesus, they gave us a game. We'll take it. We need this break. And that bullpen came out of nowhere and shut us down, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy to me. I don't understand what's happening with this team. How is a bullpen start? Pretty much, because Buehler left in the third inning after he got pissed off, because after that play, after that bullshit that I told you about, the shit with the soda where he hit the ball and hit the wall, he ended up stealing second, right? So the catcher gets up, but the ball landed in the strike zone. The ump calls a ball on that play. Buehler gets upset, starts mouthing the off at the umpire, says, fuck you, Correa and all this. And Cora gets tossed out the game too, bro.
Yeah,
it was bad. A bullpen start for the Mets. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Even my dad was here. He's here on vacation. And we look at each other. We're like, yes, that's an easy W for the Mets. No, it wasn't. We blew it. But it's okay. But you know what? I heard some good news today, though. This is the good news. The good news is that Ronnie Mauricio is on fire.
He's coming up.
Okay, listen to me. My dad talks about this guy every day. He can't wait because, you know, this guy played last year, you know, briefly for us, and he was amazing. It wasn't last year, the year before that, because he didn't play last year.
He tore his ACL.
Yeah, he tore, exactly. So 2 years before that. Yeah. He came up here. He was on fire. He just couldn't stop hitting, you know.
And
so
he was stealing.
He was stealing and everything. So now, guess what, bro? In two straight games, bro, 2 home runs. In the last 3 games, 7-for-11, 2 walks, 2 stolen bases, and 4 RBIs. Let's go, Mets. They have to bring him up to spark up the lineup, B. Because if he's hitting like that, that could be infectious. You know what I'm saying? You know when you do shit like that, you bring a player up from the minors, he's hitting, he comes up infectious. Now the whole team starts hitting again. I don't know. Stupid things like that might work. I don't know. You know, let's see what happens, man. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, bro. We're batting 183 with runners in scoring position, bro. That's the 4th worst in the league, bro. All right? This is since April 30th, bro.
Down.
Yeah, bro. And then, you know, Soto's, you know, he's not hitting, all right? But that's been happening for a while now. The whole team isn't hitting, you know? So now I don't know how he feels. He probably feels even worse now. He's like, damn, bro, I'm getting paid all this money and I should be hitting, you know what I'm saying? But he's been acting funny lately. Even with the, you know, he was supposed to be mic'd up for that ESPN game, you know what I'm saying, at Yankee Stadium, right? And guess what? He decided that he didn't want to do it. He said he didn't want to do it. He yanked out right before the game. So he's been acting really funny. Well, it's just fine, but, you know, it shows that he was nervous about something and something bothers him, you know? I mean, he played like it, you know? He played like it. He didn't play well at all, man.
Scored another run, so it's now 4-1.
All right. Off of a Soto sack fly. Yeah, Soto sack fly. All right, look at him. Oh, all right. 3-1. 4-1. 4-1. 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1.
Okay. There we go. We're doing something right. But listen, in the last 7 games, man, Soto, 17 at-bats, right? 2 runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts. All right? That's 1-for-10 in the Yankee series. All right? And then, you know, now in this series, he's talking. He's like, oh, you know that the Red Sox were on the top of the list as well for one of the teams that could have gotten my services. They offered him $700 million for 15 years. And you know what? You know what's crazy? Me as a, you know, I'm a baseball man, right? So listen, I'm looking at all these teams, right? Obviously, the Dodgers were probably in it. Who knows how much they offered the kid? I don't really know. I wasn't even, because it was between the Yankees and the Mets, right? So if
two highest bidders that we know of.
Yeah, exactly. The two highest bidders that we know of. Now he's saying that the Red Sox were up there as well, right? And we're looking at all three teams, right? So the Yankees are right. He made the World Series with the Yankees. The pitching was a little suspect, right? But when you look at the Red Sox, you say, wait a minute, look at that pitching. Look who they surrounded themselves with. They went after Soto. Because we already know, if they would have went after Soto, they would have gotten him. They would have never went after Alex Bregman. They would have never went after him. Maybe, you never know. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, think about it. They wouldn't probably not, because they would have spent all that money. Would have said, okay, we need to stop here. Develop all that pitching. Exactly. Bueller. You're right about that. That's true. That's true. They would have probably not gotten one of those two either. So it would have been a completely different type of team, right? So now you look at the Mets and you say, okay, the Mets, you know, he knows about the pitching lab. I guess they probably introduced it to him. They were like, this is what we have going. Look what we did last year. Look at the players that we have. We have Lindor. We have these guys. Look at this young development that we have going on here. We're willing to spend money if we have to. You know, we'll give you all this. And he said, all right, we're going to go with that. A lot of people are saying that his family was the one that, you know, his family was like, pushed them to go towards the Mets. Was it for the money or because the Mets offered the best package? Who knows? We don't really know all this, you know? Because me as a player, I probably would have went with the Red Sox. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, you know?
And,
And he would have been a villain, a great villain there. He would have been able to fit right into that lineup. You know what I'm saying?
Because against the Yankees?
Yeah, against the Yankees perfectly. You know what I'm saying? And you know what's funny? Because, you know, that team is, you know, Devers is a villain, bro. You know? Look how he's producing right now, which is crazy to me. After all this drama, he's still producing like an animal, which is crazy to me. I don't even understand how he's pulling this off, bro. It's fucking crazy. He's crazy. His numbers are insane.
He's a great player offensively.
Yeah, listen, he's batting. Listen, since April 26, 8 home runs, 25 RBIs, bro. Tied for 5th, most home runs and most RBIs over that span. All right? That's crazy. How is that happening? But yeah, man, like McGill today, man, I was hoping he still has it in him, man. I feel bad for him. I feel like, you know, we're not helping him. We're not producing, but the pitching staff has been struggling because they can't win games like that. You know, they go out there, they throw their best, and we're just not connecting with the bats. But it's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay. So tell me what you think about your manager getting fired. Because, you know, we talked about this last week. We talked about how the Pirates did it. Colorado did it. And I told you, I was like, the Orioles might be next. Even though we both agreed that the manager movement isn't the route. Because we all know that the manager doesn't play, you know. And the manager now these days doesn't have a lot of control over the team. So this is why Buck Showalter isn't there anymore. This is why old school managers, you know, can't manage. It don't exist. Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for. So tell me, what do you think about all that? Because I want you to get deep on that. Because we're talking about what happens to a team, you know, when you fire a manager.
Well, it just tells the team that you're waving the white flag, in my opinion. Because if you're the players, like I watch a lot of games, you could tell they're just not trying hard and they're just like, yeah, they're just going with the motions. And it's hard because, you know, this guy just won manager of the year 2 years ago. So he's not a bad manager, you know what I mean? It just that someone has to be the sacrificial lamb. This is not what they're expected. But the person I solely blame is the GM because they knew going into season, three out of their starters, four out of their starters, one is went to free agency. The other two or three are still hurt. You knew those guys weren't going to be coming back or not coming back at the beginning of the season. They did nothing to get it. You know, they did nothing really to prove. Yeah, they got a bunch of old guys. It was Morton and Sugano. And the guy from Japan has been the best player so far, pitcher. But Grayson Rodriguez is hurt. Kyle Brash is hurt. Tyler Wells is hurt. Those are guys that were in the rotation. If you look at the rotation, Dean Kramer's the only guy that's still pitching from last year's rotation, you know?
It's presented by Defy.
So all those guys are gone, you know?
Wait till we attach Spilly to that. 2-1's the score, and Kyle Farmer takes strike one.
Yeah, it's crazy.
From Taiwan.
So, it just messed things. It just So, but the you know the thing I don't like about the owners, the GM, he waited like a couple of days to make a statement, and he finally said something today, he like acknowledging that he took full responsibility, but he's like we're making moves. My problem is I call him the prospect hugger. You can't hold on to all these guys. That's the purpose of prospect. So you can use that as leverage to get guys that you need
better. Yeah,
yeah, that's the whole purpose. And if you were you know because the goal is. Your window is now, man. You have the stars. You have a good chance. You want to win it before you have to give all these guys contracts. And if you got to give a prospects to get it, who cares? If you get a World Series out of it, then you'll do it. You know, look at the Cubs. They did that several years ago. They won the World Series. They were bad for a couple years. They loaded up on prospects, and look where they are now. They're back to being good.
They're back to being great.
You know, the Yankees did that a couple years ago, too. You know, they sold off their stars, got some prospects out of it. And now they're good again, you know. But it's what it is, you know the Mets did that. They, you know, now granted they traded away veterans to get prospects, but it worked, you know.
Yeah. But you got. I mean, they had no choice.
Yeah, because prospects are. Oh, no, we have no clue. And I'll be honest with you, Holiday's all right, but he hasn't been lights out like they predicted him to be. Richmond's been okay. Their best player is Mullins right now, and Henderson's slow start. Now, granted.
Yeah,
you know we still got a long way to go, but 13 games is really hard to climb out of now. 12, but they're just off the. For me, I said this going into the season. I said I predict them to finish third place in the division, and I remember telling you their pitching is their weakness. I knew that. Everybody and their mother knew that. But the thing that disappointed me about the Orioles so far is their offense. They're not producing runs. They're not scoring. They don't hit runners in scoring positions. The only time they win is when they hit home runs. Today they did well. They scored 8 runs, but it's been like weeks since they scored more than 8 runs. It's like April or something when they scored more than 8 runs. So they're just not producing, and then that puts a lot of stress on the pitching because they got to kind of pitch like a perfect game essentially, and they can't do that. They're not strong enough. And so, but you know, it's hard to see. You can't assess how good a manager is because everything is done analytically. He goes off of what the computer tells him to do. Some guy from Harvard University is telling him, numbers say that this guy should not be pitching because, you know, I can see the rotation the fourth time. You know, his hair lights on fire and, you know, he can't pitch no more. It's just stupid. Go by the feeling. If the guy's pitching well or if you got a guy who's got an 18-game hitting streak, keep pitching. Who cares about rest? Rest him when he falls apart, you know, on the 19th day if that's the case. You know, don't just... You know, don't just keep, you know, just go, oh, I got to change it because that's what the numbers say. Screw the numbers, you know. Numbers don't always tell you the number. You know, numbers do lie, too, you know. I know that saying is numbers don't lie, but sometimes they do, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy because.
Baseball is one of the things that's more about feelings than anything else. It's like football is where numbers matter more, you know. And baseball, it's all about the moment. It's all about the feeling. How's the guy doing? What's the situation, you know? Yeah, it might be the third time, but if the guy's throwing a no-hitter going into... All right, so third time around the lineup, that's like the fourth inning maybe at best. Well, you can take the guy out because...
It depends, yeah. It could be
stupid. If the guy's throwing a no-hitter or he's got a one-run game, he's winning 1-0 and he's only giving up one hit, just keep the guy going, you know? Yeah. Take advantage of it. Rest your bullpen. Especially if your team is bullpen a shot.
Yeah, me as a manager, I'm old school too. I like to see that it keep happening. You know, it's magic. It's happening right now. Don't fuck with it. But due to the numbers, we have to. We have no choice.
You know that saying, but I'm going to drive the car until the wheels fall off?
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. No, not the same thing.
Not until the wheels fall off, but
you can't wait till the wheels fall off. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you got to catch it. No, you got to catch it. You got to see it developing. You got to see it developing. Like, you know, you're like, all right, it took him 8 pitches to get out of that last at bat. And then he walked the other guy after that. And then he gave up a hit right there. That's when you're like, okay, it's not working out anymore. You got to get rid of him right there. You know, you don't wait till, you know, you got to get rid of him right there. And that was, and I think that was still too much. You have to kind of see it happening, you know. But the shit is crazy. So now we're coming to the part of the show where we talk about the hitter of the week. And this guy, I hate this guy, but, you know, he's the hitter of the week. So we have to talk about him. And this guy, I don't have a problem saying I hate him. Hitter of the week happened on May 13th versus Boston.
And oh, it was, yeah. Former Met.
That's right. Former Met, former Chicago Cub, you know, Javi Baez. Went 2-for-4, 2 home runs, walk, 6 RBIs, 3 runs, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. And we have the gunslinger of the week. Yavoldi. Wasn't he an ex-Boston Red Sox?
Red Sox and a Yankee.
Right, there you go. Gunslinger, baby. Against Detroit, which is funny, on the 11th of May. 6-1. 6-1, Texas win, excuse me. He went 7, 2 hits, none earned, 7 strikeouts. Yeah, that was magical. All right.
Yeah, he had a good outing.
All right, so now we're talking about what Judge is going to do. Judge is doing crazy shit right now, right? So Judge is batting 403. All right. That's insane. Okay. So, you know, I'm seeing these numbers and I'm like, damn, I wonder who hit the highest for, you know, batting title in the history of baseball. So that's what the trivia question is going to be. Yeah. But you have to understand. Let me explain to you what Judge is doing. Right?
So
Judge
is batting. Guy in mind.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Not yet. Let me tell you what Judge is doing. So this way you can tell me what the number you think it is. I want you to give me two answers, actually. So the two numbers are highest career average, right? And then the highest single season average. Those are the two numbers I'm looking for. And the bonus is going to be the name, because I know it's going to be hard for you to name this person, but you might be able to pull it off. I don't know. Because you're crazy like that. But I want to see if you're able to pull that off. I want the career average and I want the single season average, right? And now, Judge, 403, 16 home runs, right? 43 RBIs, right? And 73 hits. You know what that means, yo? 73 hits, 13 doubles, 2 triples, 30 base on balls. 48 strikeouts. All right. Projected to hit how many home runs? 55 home runs. Okay? 55 home runs. So now, like I said, give me the highest batting average in MLB history. All right? For the highest batting career average and the highest MLB for the season.
The highest of all time?
Yes. Career batting average.
Oh, see, that's where you got me, because I was thinking season. For the season, I was going to go with
both.
Cabrera, but...
Okay, no, it's not him. It's not him.
He 1 year here, he was leading it.
Yeah, but the guy that I'm talking about, no. He batted 466 in 1943. Oh, I know exactly. For the season, okay? Single season batting average. 466 in 1943. His name was Josh Gibson. He played for the Homestead Grays. And that's right. And his career, right? The highest career. And he has the record for the career batting average as well. And it's at 372.
Wow.
All right? Yeah. Which is pretty crazy, right? All right. So this is the type of shit that we're looking at Judge, you know. Judge has to bring it up a little more. You know, 403 is crazy, but he has to beat 466 for the single season. So, we came to the end of the show. We've been talking about a lot of good things. We've been... seeing it happen and, you know, predicting it too. We predicted that the Baltimore Orioles manager was going to get fired. We predicted that Pete Rose
would get to the Hall of Fame. Lift
the ban and be eligible for the Hall of Fame, which is going to happen, obviously. You wouldn't do that unless you're going to do that. You know, it's great. Like I said, it's great.
Next year.
They're going to do it. You know, it's going to happen. But we've been having a great season. You know, we've been talking about these teams and the development, and we haven't even gone halfway, so it's going to be crazy to see the development of what's happening in the league. I think things are going to change. I think things are changing. I see teams that are, you know, that were nowhere last year all of a sudden, you know, start to become, you know, contenders, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of different sellers this year. Oh, my God, if Baltimore's a seller, who knows what's going to happen with that? That's going to be crazy.
If Baltimore sells, they're going to sell players that are due for contracts in the Mullins. They're not going to sell the three core guys.
I hope not. Because that's not smart.
O'Hearn, Mountcastle, Urias, Ramon Urias, Tyler O'Neill, he's hurt, but he's the outfielder. Who else? Mullins. So whoever is not their major star, future prospect, future star, they're all on the trading block. Pitching-wise, Felix Bautista could be traded. He's their closer. He's been struggling. I find it interesting how every time a star closer comes back from an ACL injury, they're just completely terrible the next year. It's so weird. Or the year after.
Oh, my God.
Bautista's been terrible. He blew another today. Now, they won, but still.
Oh, my God. So, I just want to say
interesting
that the Phillies are in the third inning, top of the third. Right, Phillies. Bryce Harper just hit a home run. It's 4-2 now, in the top of the third. All right, they're not playing anymore. And yeah, we might win this game. We won this baseball game. You know, we didn't get swept, and that's cute and all. But now we're hobbling back to Citi Field, and we lost two series. Hopefully, you know, when I tune into this Dodger game later at 10 o'clock, 10:10 to be exact on Eastern time. I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to watch the rest of this Phillies game, too. And see what happens. It's going to be a good night. I'm off tomorrow, so get to watch some more baseball. Not the Mets. The Mets can't lose or win tomorrow because we're off. And we need that break. We need that break. We're traveling back home.
Baltimore's got Boston.
Baltimore has Boston? That's going to be rough. Boston. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, who knows? Maybe today's win was the start of the offensive producing.
Yeah, you never know.
They scored eight runs. And they now granted it was extra inning, so you get an advantage because you got the Manfred man. But you know, sometimes you just need a win to slump you out of that funk that they were in. You know, and they finally got it. So they play, they play Boston tomorrow. They got 4-game series, so if they could split the series with Boston, I'd be happy. You know.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Listen,
and the Mets are home series. To the Dodgers. The Mets have to take 2 out of 3 from LA if you want to, you know, make yourself like a true contender. Be like, yeah, we're really here.
You know, not right now. They're both struggling. So it's gonna be an interesting. Yeah, let's see what happens in the series. It's gonna be, you know, they're both tired, bro. They both went 12 rounds. That's what it feels like to them. It's like and they have to fight now. It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be like two boxers in the 12th round, all sluggish and shit.
Are you going to the games about any show?
I'm gonna watch a couple of them. I think I'm going to be there for a couple of them, but I'm not 100% sure. I have to take the old man to a couple of games before he goes back to Puerto Rico. So, yeah, I'm going to definitely, I think I'm going to be there for a couple of them. I don't know which ones yet. We're trying to figure that out, trying to work it around the schedule, but I'll be there and see what happens, man. But that was a great episode. We're going to catch you guys on the rebound next week after the Dodgers series, and I believe after the Dodgers, I think it's the White Sox, I believe. And
for the Mets, the White Sox come to Baltimore after the Mets.
Yeah, I think they play the White Sox. So,
and you should sweep them there.
That should be terrible. Who knows what'll happen with that? You know, I just want to be, you know, look, we won this one, we didn't get swept, you know. It's 4-1 in the bottom of the eighth, man. I think we got this in the bag, you know. And I probably called it too early. Who knows, you know. But hopefully we get this one. 4-1 in the bottom of the eighth, man, with no outs, you know. So there's 6 outs to go. I think we can handle this. But we'll catch you on the rebound. And hope you enjoyed it. Peace, bro. Peace, brother.